Welcome to the Believe Podcast, a conversation between friends over a passage of Scripture. My name is Carolyn Kirsten.
And I am Marvin Williams.
And today we are talking about John chapter 3, verses 22 through 36.
All right, Carolyn, it's good to see you, number one. I love doing this. I had a question for you.
Okay.
So how would you feel if a friend received more recognition than you for something you both did?
Oof. Marvin, this actually could be one of my deepest struggles in life that you're bringing out here because it truly is. Like wanting
like
to
you're
get
speechless now.
I'm like, so how many examples do I have to give? Because getting credit for what I do, it honestly is something that's been very important to me my whole life. And being willing to just let it go has been something that God has been working on me for sure. I mean, I could tell you, like, when I was a high school teacher, there was a monthly, like, Teacher of the Month Award. And people would get it. I never got it. And it burned me because I would think of all of these things that I had done that month and couldn't really think why that person was deserved. So, no,
You're not super competitive, are you?
Oh, Marvin, come on. Yes. So, getting credit, very much okay. Something that is... I need to just be constantly working on. So.
Well, listen, this is not a Carolyn problem. This is
well, good. I have some company.
This is a human problem, and it's a problem that I struggle with as well. I love getting credit as well. Yeah. I want people to know that I did something, and you know, I may be that person to. Kind of let people know that I did it in a roundabout way. And so, and this is not about you and me. This is about actually something that we see in this passage from today that you mentioned earlier. So you have John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. He has disciples and he's already said, hey, look, the Lamb of God talking about Jesus. And now Jesus has disciples, several at this time, and they are baptizing. And everything would be cool if one of John's disciples didn't come to John and say, hey, listen, you know that dude you said was the Lamb of God the other day? He's like baptizing, and he's baptizing more people than you.
Yeah, John's disciples like totally keeping score. Like, hold on, he's getting ahead of us.
Right,
here.
Exactly. It's like he has more people. Like, and John uses probably hyperbole. He says everybody is going out to be baptized by him, and it's look like your congregation is getting smaller, and his is getting bigger. So it's almost as if he's saying, like, what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And I think in this moment, his disciple is John's disciple is almost trying to spark a little controversy and a little jealousy between Jesus and John. So what does John do? Does John does he start gimmicks and like hey, we're serving the better coffee?
We're serving what can we do to draw them
exactly.
In?
Yeah. We're serving the better coffee. Hey, we have gift cards and to get more people to come to our baptism. Does he do that?
And he totally doesn't. I mean, that is what is amazing. We've talked about in previous episodes John the Baptizer's humility.
Yeah.
And it is really on display here. He gives the analogy of a wedding.
I like that. Yeah.
Which really rang true to me when he says, you know, he who has the bride is the groom, but the groom's friend who stands by and listens for him rejoices greatly at the groom's voice. Yeah, and so he kind of compares himself to that groom's friend who at a wedding, I mean, how ridiculous would that be if the wedding party like positions themselves, wait, I don't want to stand here on the side. I got to step in front of the groom. And I mean, that would just be goofy.
Yeah.
But you do. I mean, I think we can all picture that being at a wedding and seeing that wedding party, whether it's the bridesmaids or the groomsmen, who are just screaming
yeah.
at the celebration of their friends getting yeah. married.
They're crying in joy and this sense of a delight watching the bride walk down the aisle or watching the groom. You know, I've seen grooms cry when they see their bride walking down the middle aisle, and the bridesmaids and the groomsmen, they are right there with the wedding, with the bride and groom, rejoicing with them, saying, "Look at them!
Yep.
Aren't they a beautiful couple? They're like we are so super excited." Not jealous of them.
Right.
And
not vying for attention ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I heard a phrase, clap for others until it's your turn. Mm-hmm. And I love, and this is what John is doing. John is going off the scene, but he's now clapping for Jesus and saying, this is the reason I was born. This is the reason I was chosen to actually point to the one who is truly the Messiah. Yeah.
It is that idea of helping each other win.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about me getting credit, as we talked about at that opening, but what can I do for the advancement of the kingdom, for the betterment of this person?
Yeah.
And really, I mean, how much more satisfying is that than trying to keep score? Because I can tell you it is not satisfying to keep vying to get the credit or to wish that, well, if only, or I'm not, I mean, that measuring yourself against others, it's an endless disappointment.
Yeah, I love, again, John uses this this meme kind of language or this tweetable language. I must decrease and he must increase.
Yeah.
And again, beautiful language to put his character on display. And he's not manipulating. He is not just saying it just to say it. John the Baptist truly believes this, that my only job is to point to him. So now I am going to go off the scene. I'm going to decrease. In fact, he has the ultimate decrease where he is beheaded.
He's beheaded. He's out of the picture.
Yeah, it's not funny, but no. The way you said it like that is.
He's
so there's this sense where he does say, this is my whole job. My whole job is to point to Jesus, the one who is the Lamb of God. And I love that about him. And that challenges me because I find myself wanting to increase a lot and where God decreases. And I know that's kind of weird for, you know, Christians, a pastor to say, but there are times where it's like, hey, look at me, look at what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's God who is actually the one who's working through us to get the job done. And so I love that language, decreasing and increasing. I'm decreasing, he's increasing. Now you mentioned something a little, as we were talking earlier in preparation, you talk about this whole idea of this possessiveness. We have this sense of wanting to be possessive of certain things. I think you talked about we are wired to be possessive.
Yeah.
And yet God wants something different for us and more for us.
Yeah. And I mean, we are naturally selfish as human beings. We can all think of how quickly, you know, you don't have to teach a baby how to say mine or, you know, and grabbing for toys. I mean, that is constant parenting right from the get-go is, and constant even as an adult, and, you know, sloughing off another layer of selfishness. So we are wired to possess and to want more. And what I think is so powerful is the one thing, I mean, that verse 34 tells us, for the one whom God sent speaks God's words, since he gives the Spirit without measure.
Yeah, I love that.
That's one thing we can never ask too much of God's Spirit. Like, God's like, yep, there's more for that. Yep, there's more for that. Like, God is completely generous in giving his Spirit. And then so we know that's something we can ask for.
Yeah.
Is the strength of his Spirit. And I think when it says his Spirit, I mean, that is the God's indwelling in us. It's giving us, well, the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
We know that the fruit of the Spirit are things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Like when we're in a situation and we don't know what to ask God for, we know he will give us his spirit without measure. So it's a situation we're going through and peace is what we need.
Yeah.
We can ask for peace in full abundance, whether it, you know, maybe it's faithfulness, maybe it's joy. Maybe it's self-control.
Yeah.
Probably is a lot.
Yeah.
He wants to give that without measure. And there's a lot of other things we might be pursuing instead and think that's what that's going to be the answer. But that's, I love that John says his spirit without measure.
Yeah. And that's, you know, in addition to that, when that's connected to what you're saying, John tells his disciple that, hey, listen, unless heaven gives it to them, they won't have it. And so even John at this point is saying heaven is giving favor to Jesus, the Messiah, right now. And you know something? These people who are going out to be baptized by him, God is giving those people to Jesus at this point. And then that's the whole spirit without measure. Listen, I don't want anything that God is not giving to me. That's kind of what John is saying. And the one thing that I can have, as you mentioned, is the spirit without measure. So those things that I can't have, I shouldn't worry about that. Yeah. But the things that I can have, spirit without measure, let me pursue that. Let me go after that. Let me go after the peace. Let me go after the joy, the love, the long-suffering, those kinds of things, because those are the things that God is going to give me in measure. This really challenges me, because particularly in this season of COVID, I'm going to be very honest with you. When I see other churches growing, I get a little jealous. I get a little jealous because it's like we're doing stuff too. Look at what we're doing. And yet it feels like, man, we're not growing at the rate of other churches. And this, I come back to this, and this challenges me that God will give us whom he will give us, and God will give them whom he will give them. And I ought to rejoice at the work that's being done in those places and in and through those churches and pastors and so forth and so on. Again, it challenges me, and yet it actually helps me to understand something that's happening that I cannot control. It's not about gimmicks. It's not about who has the best coffee. It truly is the work of the Spirit at work in those places, at work in our lives. And there are some teams that have a great passing game, and there are some teams that have a great running game. Again, you're being a...
I'm tracking. You're okay. I'm tracking with you.
And so so the things that God has given us, we focus on those things and trust and be faithful to those things that he's given us. And I think John was faithful in this moment to all that God had given him. And when it was time for him to decrease and to point to someone else, he was able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a world of lots of things we can't or won't ever have, like, boy, we could live a pretty discouraging life if we were always focused on what someone else has or how it's going well for them and not for me. I mean, that is just a vicious cycle of disappointment.
Yeah.
But instead, focusing on what God has given us, what we can have. I heard a teaching where Beth Moore connected this to Psalm 18. Let me just flip there a second. Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. And notice the possessive pronouns. We'll do a little English lesson here. And I'll emphasize them as I read it. Oop, went back too far. Psalm 18. The first couple verses here. It says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock where I seek refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the writer, it's David, is claiming those things about God. Like, yep, that is yours. No matter what else is going on, no matter what else the circumstance, we can claim that in the fullness of his spirit.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I love that. Love it. Yeah. Absolutely love it.
So when we think about this passage, what can we believe about God or believe about ourselves?
Yeah, I think for me, one of the things that I can truly believe about God is that God is impartial, and that he blesses those whom he chooses to bless. Hmm. And that I don't just tolerate that, but I can actually, he wants me to rejoice in him and how he's blessed other people. And so I think that I can believe that God is impartial and that God is fair.
Yeah.
And I can trust that. Yeah. May not always like it, but I can trust that he knows what's best for me and what's best for the next person.
Yeah. And we really are not missing out. Like, yeah. That is not an accurate description of the situation.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, we do have all that we need in Christ. I totally agree with that. And then just that application of to ourselves of, so because that is true, I don't need to be scrambling for the credit or keeping score or all of those things.
How much did that take for you to say that?
I know. Well, it's always good for me to have reminders on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely one I need to draw my attention to again and just let those things go.
Yeah.
And believe what we know is true about God, that he is enough. And in fact, he gives us more than enough.
Yeah.
That's what I focus on, not on getting the attention, getting the credit
yeah.
for myself.
Yeah. I must decrease and let him increase. We must decrease and let him increase and let Jesus have the most prominent place in our lives. This was fun today.
Yeah, this was a challenging
today.
One.
Yeah.
I know, it really was. So friends, thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope that you share it with someone, talk it over yourselves, read this scripture passage together, and have your own conversation.